And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. Always love to have you on board as we get set to take a look at new paradigms for a new world. And we want to give you choices. We're going to give you a lot of choices and choices for making your dreams come true. And I certainly hope that you will avail yourselves of the information that we provide on this program. And we provide it every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Monday mornings at 1 a.m. on this fine station, as well as the podcasts at SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Spotify, Blueberry, and Player FM, and lots of other places as well. So please take advantage of that opportunity. I can't exhort you enough to do so. You're going to learn so much from these folks, and you want to click on that little grocery card on the player for SoundCloud, because that's going to take you to the guest's website, so you can find out more about them. You can also find out more about the work that they do and get in touch with them to, hey, maybe work with them. So I certainly hope that you will do that. If you'd like to support the work that we are doing, if you like what we're doing and it resonates with you, you'd like to help us to continue to move forward, please. We have PayPal and Patreon accounts, and whatever amount is supporting us, we thank you for it. And I'm going to share this with you because this means that it doesn't matter what the amount is. I had one individual who shared in an email that he really can't support the program. He does not have the wonderful extra funds. He would love to. He really would love to support the program, but he doesn't have it. And I got an email just recently from him again saying, you know what, it didn't feel right for me to say that. I really feel like I want to support what you're doing, but again, I don't have a lot. So I'm going to do what a little I can, because of course, every little bit helps, he says. I get the notification from PayPal. And again, I loved his creativity. $11.11. 1111. And I sent him an email saying, thank you. I love your creativity. I appreciate the support. And it's not even a question of how large or small. It's just a question of the support. And we'll take energetic support as well. So I just wanted to share that with you. So it doesn't matter how big or small it is. We'll put it to good use for the radio program, because we're working to make this a better place for everybody. And I do mean everybody. And including everybody is our guest today. She is part of everybody. And she is in touch with a lot of different realms. She has a lot of modalities that she uses to help us to understand ourselves better. We've had her on the program before, and we have her back again. Her name is Lumari. Lumari, thank you for joining us again here on Tell Me Your Story.
Oh, Richard, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. I can feel the energies already flowing.
Absolutely. It is exciting when you hear from people, and I remember when I first started putting the word out about support for the program. And it took a while for the support to come in, and I was attached to the outcome, and I've now gotten to the point where I've let go of the outcome. It's not that I don't care. Sure, I do, but that's not up to me. I'm leaving that. I'm trusting the universe that those who will support it. Those who will go to the website, such as yours, Lumari.com, they will do that so that they can get in touch with you, for example, as we are going to talk today about the work that you do and some very specific things that we want to talk about today. And I think that's maybe one of the biggest lessons. Maybe we can start there about putting it out there and then letting it go, just releasing the balloon of that thought. And just letting the universe take it from there, because the universe will. And I think the hardest part for us as humans is to allow divine right timing, because we want it now, right?
We always want it now.
So let's start there. Can we do that? Let's start at that point.
Sure.
In our conversation here. And then I'm going to I follow the universe's lead, and I know you do the same thing. So I'm going to allow the universe to work through you and follow your lead and just kind of throw things in as we move forward. So let's talk about maybe how do we develop, how do we begin the process of developing that kind of patience, waiting for the universe to, you know, quote unquote, give us what we want?
Yes. Well, I think one part is it's really wonderful that we're actually asking the universe. So that shows a collaboration, a partnership, a knowing that we're not the only one doing it. So that's important. So in a way, like, congratulations, everybody. You recognize you're part of the universe and there's a collaboration going on. And then in the next level, there is an aspect of being able to ask the universe in a way that you receive something bigger than you are looking at. So sometimes people do it, and it really, I'm just going to say, it's kind of cute to have like a list, like you would have a shopping list, right? Mm-hmm. I want this, right? That's sweet. That's not how the universe works.
Ah.
And if you look at it in a bigger way, like, think about the universe, think about the divine creating. I'm pretty sure she doesn't go, like, okay, I want a planet. Let's put it over here. Not that life form. Oh, no, that's a good life form. We'll put that one over here. I don't know. Where do I want those continents? It doesn't work like that. So in a way, you can relax. Because when creation happens, just look at our planet. It doesn't look like it looked 5 million years ago. So if we were bound, and if the universe were bound by that shopping list, actually, most of us would be disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember when the events were set in motion for us to move to Santa Barbara. And one of the thoughts that went through my mind sort of halfway through the process, it was probably April of 2006, occurred to me, and this goes back to, again, my comment about divine right timing. I thought, why did we wait until we lost our jobs to do this? And again, I thought about that in relationship to the timing of the universe, and that, you know, there's a, in a manner of speaking, there's a right time and a wrong time to do something, you know, and if the universe is prompting you to do it now, you might want to do it now. But if the universe isn't prompting you to do it now, you might want to just kind of relax and enjoy the view and enjoy the journey, because eventually the universe is going to say, okay, everything's in order. Go ahead. Do it. And that's kind of the way I viewed it. I'm thinking, yeah, we could have moved in 2005, 2004, 2003. What really made it happen, of course, was the fact that we had this home equity line of credit on the house, and it gave us a little nest egg of sorts, you know. So we were able to do some things. But again, I'm just sitting here thinking, I think one of the keys was, for me, I had to finish the business that I had with the people I was working with. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? That when you keep meeting up with the same people over and over again for years and years and years and years, and this is different than having close friends like your best friend or your spouse or what have you, or children. Sometimes when you keep bouncing back to these people, it's like the universe saying, you have unfinished business. And that's what the universe was telling me.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of people aren't, because of what you want and what you manifest, and I want to make sure that when we talk about this, we're looking at your higher vision, what you really want, not, you know, what's in your shopping cart. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing.
Big difference.
But the other, and the other part of it is, you don't actually know how much the universe has to put together for you to have that. And you don't actually know if having that the way you think about it is actually the way it's going to be the most beneficial, creative, inspiring, uplifting for you.
Yeah.
The universe may have more things that it needs to put together. And if you got it when your impatience said to get it, well, it might not be complete. So then what?
Yeah, yeah. So is there a method or a step, a process that we can look at to get in alignment? Because I know that this can also go against the grain of those who are very strong believers in free will, and that I kind of phrase it this way, you know, and that is that I am going to use my free will to do the will of the universe. So I am, in a manner of speaking, turning over my GPS, my guidance system, to the universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this, let's just say we're participants in the universe. So, and it's kind of a funny thing, because on the one hand, you want to participate. You want to, I like to say, hold your vision, right? So that it's in constant flux, whatever that vision is, because sometimes it really is, I want to find the love of my dreams. Sometimes it really is, I want a new business. I want a new place to play. And sometimes it's, I want to really fulfill my soul and my destiny and my purpose. It can be any and all of those things. So you want to hold that. And I don't mean hold it tightly and grab on and never let it go. I mean, like, imagine that it is a beautiful painting that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And that is a painting right now that you want in your life. Or imagine it's a song.
Yeah.
And that song embodies and vibrates those dreams and visions that you have. Now, who's writing the song? Well, part of it is you, and part of it's the universe, because you wouldn't be here if you weren't, I like to say, playing with the universe. So now there's a dance with this painting or this music, right? You're in a dance with the universe. So yes, you're giving it forward, but if we look at when we do kind of partner dances, right? It's not a question of who's leading, but that the dance steps are in sync. So whether you're doing a waltz or whether you're doing, you know, country dancing or whatever it is, right? There's two people dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's you and the universe dancing together, making a fabulous vision and creation. So part of it is you give over, because sometimes the partner leaves. And then sometimes you go, wait, I don't want to dance that dance. Well, let's do something a little slower. But in the vibration of it, you're sharing your being. And we are always growing. So the vision you have today or the dream you have today may be different. And we want that to evolve. We want it so much. Right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to wear the clothes they wore 400 years ago.
No. I mean, maybe for Halloween, but not on a regular basis.
Exactly. I mean, as beautiful as horses are, I don't want to drive down the highway in a horse and buggy to get anywhere.
Right, right.
Not now, no. And so when you're looking at creating that and having things manifest or happen or move into it, you want to be able to still hold your vision. That's what I'm going to call it, your vision. And know that the universe is, you'll hear a no. Everybody listening, when the universe says, not going to happen, you have to understand that it might not be in your best interest. So you want to allow that even you may have thought a vision 10 years ago, and now you go, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Thank goodness it didn't come through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's all in flow. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen, because most of the things actually do unfold.
I have this little book I carry with me called The Impersonal Life. And in it, it talks about this aspect of the divine, if you will, the force, the universal intelligence, what have you, that has orchestrated all of this. And that we are nothing more than manifestations of that. We're physical manifestations thereof. That the thoughts that we have, we think they're our thoughts, but actually they're the thoughts of the divine, the universal intelligence. And so that when you think in your ego-centered way that you've come up with these ideas, they're really my ideas, as the text goes. And I find I I have to say that there's a part of me that just absolutely wants to embrace that concept and that philosophy, not so much to abdicate my personal responsibility as an individual, mm-hmm. but more so because it tells me, oh, thank God I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I don't have to worry. I can always rely. I can always rely on the universal intelligence to support me, to lift me up, to hold on if I feel in my ego, in my personality, that I'm falling. That's such a relief. Because we all, as much as there are some people in this world who want to live the lone wolf kind of lifestyle, I think that deep down inside, they really do want to connect with other human beings in that regard. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I always feel that I'm in co-creation and I'm in collaboration. Now, the one part, and you know, Richard, I have a sense of humor about this because I like the energies of joy. Mm-hmm. So I always say I'm really glad the divine is smarter than I am. Right?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Because, okay, I might want something. I might think it's really good and the divine is going to not make it happen. I'm like, oh, well, thank you very much. You are smarter than I am. Because if I got that, that wouldn't be where I really want to play. But it looked good then. It's just like those energies that we want. So when I look at lone wolf, you may want to like hold your energy and not be influenced by a huge amount of people, but we're always in co-collaboration with the universe. That's where inspiration comes from.
Yeah.
Inspiration is the divine tapping you on the shoulder, opening your heart, however inspiration comes to you, right? And saying, ooh, look at this, my dear, what do you think?
Yeah.
And then if you're smart, right? Mm-hmm. Not all of us are. And we're not all smart all the time. But when you're smart, you go, oh, let me look at that. Huh, why did that come to me? What do I want to learn from that? Is that really interesting? How can I play there? What message does it have for me? No, okay, now you're engaging. Universe tapped you on the shoulder with a vision, a song. For musicians, it's a bar or a notation or you know, a phrase that becomes the hook in their song.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a beautiful message that you hear or receive or something you notice that just opens you up. Well, that's co-creation. That's collaboration. The divine isn't just throwing something out there and go, well, let's see who sees that one. It doesn't work like that.
It is.
You know, that would be, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'd be like okay, someone's out there drowning, and all they do is just throw them a life preserver. But there's no rope attached to it. It's just a life preserver
exactly.
All by itself, and so you guess what? You won't drown, but you're not going anywhere until the currents carry you wherever it is. We're talking with Lumaria, and Lumaria.com, Lumari.com is our website, and you have a lot of interesting programs that are available on your website for folks. Some of them we can talk about here in the program, but some of them, I just want to mention some of them. Life Alchemy Mastery Program, also an accelerated intensive for radical change. And by the way, I have been promoting this, not so much this program, but this concept. This truism that people need to embrace, because we have been taught, programmed, manipulated, and connived to believe that the one constant in the universe, and that constant is change, is bad. That we want normalcy. They use two terms in the computer languages, static and dynamic. Now, static means no change. Now, you think about that with a pool of water. And eventually it gets real scummy. And, of course, then you get the bugs, the mosquitoes start to breed, and then you got all kinds of other problems. Whereas if it's dynamic, let's say you've got the rapids, you've got the foam and you've got the energy and the sound and the excitement and the flow, and it's just unbelievable. And when we look, and I think I've shared this in a program before with you, about looking at the micro and the macro cosmic worlds in reference to change, everything is in motion on both levels. Well, everything is also in motion at our level. I call it the mid-crow. Mid-crow level.
I like that.
Macro, mid-crow, micro. And yet we are in awe of the universe. We're looking through the Hubble telescope, or we're looking through an electron microscope at the subatomic particles moving around and doing their thing. And yet when we get to our level, we're all over the place emotionally. Sometimes it's, oh, wow, that's incredible. Oh, wow, neat. And then other times it's, no, no more. I can't take it. And yet that's the one thing. And you talk about, I mean, we're talking about radical change. And there's one fascinating phrase that I'm going to throw out, and then I'm going to have you elaborate on this particular thing. You hear this especially in the economic circles when you hear the economic news. They'll give the numbers, blah, 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 blah. And they might end the story with, in these uncertain times. And I ask the question rhetorically to the TV, can you please tell me when we had certain times? Never. There have never, ever been certain times. Talk to us about not just this wonderful coursework of accelerated intensives for radical change, but let's talk about radical change.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Well, we look at change. First of all, most people are afraid of change, and they don't even recognize you're changing all the time. Until you leave the planet, physically you're changing all the time, and you're having all of these things happen, so you're changing through those. Everything influences you, and everything creates change. The end.
All right, let's move on to our next one.
Oh, you get it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, well,
but in the energy of that, it's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Because telling people that you don't want to change, it's just not a truth. It's not. Look at a tree. Now, they could be there for, we have trees that are really, really old mm-hmm. in this world, right? Every leaf changes. The tree changes shape. It grows. It changes. Sometimes it stays for thousands of years. Sometimes it's only around for so much. Every single leaf is different, even though the genetics of that tree, quote unquote, could create the same exact leaf. They're never the same exact leaf. And that lifestyle and lifetime of that leaf makes it change all the time too. And so why would we want something to be the same? Now, that doesn't mean that you want everything to be, wake up one morning and go, oh my God, I'm blind. Wake up one morning. Oh my God, I'm a redhead. Wake up one morning. Oh my God, I'm 80 years old. When did that happen? You know, one day, one time. No. We still have cycles. So everything starts to be in motion in a certain way. So evolution is change. Growth is change. All of that is always happening. And what's really crazy is it's all happening at once. There is no way we're not in a world of change. Because if you look around you, every single thing that you can think of, look at, smell, taste, dance with, etc., is changing.
Yeah.
Everything. Yes.
Take that in, folks. Everything. We talk about the evolutionary process on many different levels. I'm not even going to go to the human level of our evolutionary process as human beings over the thousands and thousands of years we've been here. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about in a lifetime we evolve. Why do we send our kids to school? To get an education. Why? So that they can pursue a career that hopefully gives them more than what we had as their parents. That's usually what they say, what the parents say. I want them to have more than what I had.
Yeah.
And so forth. Well, why would you? Why? I mean, it's like the little kid who's always asking the question, why? And you answer it, well, why? And it just keeps coming. Well, but that's the process of evolution. We do the same thing with food. We do the same thing with drink. I mean, I eat things now that I never thought I would eat. I hated tomatoes as a little kid. I love them now. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. they don't love me because unfortunately they contribute to inflammation. And I've learned a lot about right. that. So I know certain foods to stay away from. Again, part of the evolutionary process. Mm-hmm. So that we can live healthier lives as we live longer, so that we can do the things that we want to do, find our purpose and so forth. And yet people, as you said, people, it's like, okay, I get intellectually the concept, but no, thank you very much, Lumari, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying in because I don't want to accept that changes, things are always changing. And yet it's like, oh, fine, you cannot accept it. And that's perfectly okay. But you better look around you and look at the reality of things. And I think that that's one of the things that if we could get to that place, there's a wonderful line in a song. I talk about being influenced by the things around us and music. The line in the song is, "Changes often frighten me. Still, I have to smile. It turns me on to think of growing old." And when I heard those words, when I used to listen to that music wow. back in the 70s, I used to think about that. And I thought, yeah, I mean, you know, as a kid, you don't have a lot of responsibilities. You don't have a mortgage and right. a car payment and all those things. And usually you don't carry a wallet, right, or have a purse if you're a woman. And I thought, it's going to be cool to be, you know, in my 50s or 60s or 70s, whatever it is. Because, man, and then, of course, I started listening to the conversations and I'm going, ooh, boy, they got. They're dealing with lots of stuff. Maybe I want to rethink getting older. But I do. Right. I do. I am excited about the prospects of the growth process. It's different from aging. The growth sure. process. It excites
me. You can't grow if you're not changing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, since change is inevitable, and even beyond inevitable, just get over it. It's happening. And if you look at anything on this planet, so make believe it's not you. Guess what? The paint on your house is aging. Mm-hmm. It's changing every single day, depending on the sun, the rain, etc. That's an inanimate thing, and it's changing. Mm-hmm. Right? And I don't necessarily look at it that inanimately, but let's just say it for science purposes, right?
Yeah.
Well, if that's changing, are you? And when we talk about radical change is thinking about working with the dynamic of change that is going to light you up, empower you, fulfill your destiny in your dreams, and then you keep on going with it because you're not resting. So why not be radical? Why not look at it and go, you know what? And then whatever the what is, right? Yeah. You know what? I want to be a leader. I don't care how old I am. I'm 12. I want to be a leader. I want to make these things happen. You know what? I want to start a new school. I don't care. I'm 85. Education is stupid in this country. I want kids to really be excited to go into school every day. I got some great ideas. Ooh, I want to look at health in a different way. I want to change myself radically and be a beacon of health for everyone, no matter how old they are. That's radical change. Mm. And it scares the people.
It does. It absolutely does. And the stability that that people are looking for can only be found. And I ask you to elaborate on this and help me as well. The only stability that we absolutely can find is within. That's the only place where we can feel some level of, and I'm not talking about no change. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But in terms of our ability to understand and accept the change that is going on in our lives.
Well, instead of using the word stability, And you know, I always have a thing with words because how people think them. What if we call it centeredness? What if we call it awareness instead? And so your centeredness and awareness is like you understand yourself. You know you're changing, But you know, there's also parts of you, values that you have, qualities that you admire, ways that you admire, that are your central compass.
Yeah.
If you're a loving, caring person, then we're not necessarily saying who, what, where, how you're loving. You appreciate loving, and in your life, your centeredness has love in it.
Yeah.
If you're creative, and it doesn't matter whether you're creative because you're staying home knitting, or you're designing buildings, or you're changing the app, whatever it is, creativity is part of your centeredness. And so it may feel stable because it is part of who you are and who you celebrate.
Yeah.
But if that's your inner compass, then whatever is changing around you, you still have that relationship with your inner being, your joy, your freedom, your creativity, your wonder, your divine connection, your connection with other people. People come and go, locations come and go, but your centeredness is how you personally are connecting and experiencing with yourself and then with the world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it ties into another song, lyrics, by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and John Denver. And it's called So It Goes. And the chorus line goes like this: ashes to ashes, dust into dust. Buildings will crumble and bridges will rust. Mountains will disappear, rivers will dry up. And so it goes with everything but love. Just what you spoke of. Just what you spoke of.
Yeah.
And if we tap into that, that is within each one of us. And again, I would even put it in the category, again, of the divine intelligence, God, the universal force. Again, that's what it is. And it is, and it's a wonderful thing. Another wonderful thing is we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back, Lumari, and we're going to talk more about a couple of the other programs that you have available on your website, lumari.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Would you stay tuned, please?
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
I'm Richard Dugan, back here with Lumari, and we're talking about her website, of course, and the work that she does. Lumari.com is the website. And we've been talking about change. And of course, as we do these programs, things change, things move forward, things expand, they contract. It's all happening all at once. I mean, you can't escape it. Another area that a lot of people have difficulty with, and it still ties in with change, the ebb and flow. And that has to do with another program you offer called Heal Your Money Karma Accelerated Intensive, because that is a huge of the when I used to listen to these radio programs when they had intuitives on answering phone calls, you know, saying, hey, could you tell me about, and they would go through job and money and relationship and where they would live. And there were like four or five basic things, and money was always there. And so it's obviously a big issue for a lot of folks, but I've heard it said, and have you talk about this, that money is nothing more than energy, or it's the material presence, if you will, of the energy. Ergo, that's why you have the money, because of the energy that you have put forth that comes back. You know, there's because I believe there's always an exchange. It's like a universal law. You cannot break it. That there is always an exchange. You cannot just be the giver. You know, you hear this around the holiday. Oh, I give, you know, no, you didn't have to get that from me. No, you don't have to get me anything. I'm fine. You got to be a receiver too. So there has to be the flow in and out, in and out, in and out. And yeah, we can accumulate stuff. But anyway, let's talk about the energy of money in reference to this money karma issue.
Well, I love it. Thank you, Richard, because I do two things with that. One is I work individually with people and coach them to clear their money karma. And I also do workshops for groups of people to clear their money karma. So first, I'm going to tell you what money karma is. Money karma is every experience you've ever had with money and power in every lifetime you ever lived. So you can imagine all of us have it, right? Mm-hmm. We have karma. Mm-hmm. We have money karma is specifically related to freedom, money, and power. So in some lifetimes, you could have been the king. And you did whatever you did. And obviously, if you're the king, most of the time you got some bucks. Sometimes kings lose everything. So that's part of the dance, right? But you have power. You can tell people to do whatever you want them to do. And usually they do it. And then sometimes you were the poor person. You were the slave building the pyramids, not the one who owned them. We have all of those things. We also have the conversations from our family. Right? So if you had a father who said, listen, you'll never make it, you don't know, blah, 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 then you're going to have money karma about your success. It could be that you went, oh, really? Watch me, daddy. And you amassed millions. Or you could be, oh, God, he's so smart, I probably don't. And you didn't get any money. That's another area. And then there's the area where you decided all of these things about money in this lifetime and every other lifetime. So you can imagine everything that's amassing there about money. Then you come into this world, and those things influence how you attract, spend, keep, lose, etc., money. And you have to play in the game of money that's here on this planet. And most of us know there's a game there.
Mm-hmm.
There's people there who don't want you to have money. We know that, right? It's obvious. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about banks, right? Because they have their rules.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about there's people out there who have a lot of money, and what they're trying to do is amass it, and they don't care how they got it. They only care that they have it. And there's other people who are amazingly generous, like you were talking about, and they keep on giving it away. And they just have this idea that they're just going to keep on giving it away and they don't have to watch it. And there's all this stuff in between. And so there's a level in that where you actually don't have any freedom at all, because you're being triggered by any one of those many different things. And that's what I call money karma.
Hmm. Do you know the one barometer that I use to stay observant of my money, I don't want to say issues.
Oh, conversation.
All right. My money conversation.
Yeah.
The plumbing in my home. If I have a disruption of the supply coming in, a lot of times it correlates with the supply coming in of money coming in. And if I have a challenge or struggle with money going out, it's usually because I've got pipes that are clogged somewhere, somehow, out to, and in our case, we have a septic system. And that's one of the barometers that I have used, whether I was living in the city back in Phoenix when we were hooked up, of course, to the whole central plumbing and sewage system that went to the treatment plant, or whether it is on a septic system. That's what I've looked at. I've used water as the metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you are a person who has a great supply coming in but nothing going out, you know what's going to happen is you're going to have an overflow somewhere. You're going to destroy your home. I mean, we've seen it with flooding when we have the hurricanes, when we have the heavy rains and those kinds of things. You know, think about that in reference to your money situation, your money conversation. I've also heard the same thing using water flow when talking about traffic, too. You know, that water abhors a vacuum and will be filling it. So that's why you see people jumping in front of you. If there's enough room, they're going to jump in there. And you just accept that. You just allow, because it's just like water. You know, you cannot have that open space. It's got to be filled and so forth. So when we start looking at our finances, our financial situation, You know, there are those who talk about retirement, and I'm not one of them. To me, retiring has to do with putting new tires on the vehicle. That's retiring. Okay. And that we haven't had retirement for that long. I mean, my goodness, what was it, pre-1930s? I can't remember when, because that's, I think, when Social Security was established. I think it was the 30s. Before that, there was no retirement. You, quite honestly, and literally, they did. It worked until they dropped.
And well, we have a whole other thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who are retiring are actually retiring to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do their job. They want to do something else. And they saved up whatever they saved up in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in their mind.
Sure.
Right? And then when you look at retire, okay, like the classic thing, which means you are not working, you are doing something else. Well, I'm not going to not see clients. I love seeing my clients. I love helping people reach new levels in their life, create the challenges that inspire them to move forward, help them get rid of stuff that's in their way. I love doing that. I love writing books. I'm not going to stop writing books. I'm not going to stop putting together all that information and wisdom so that people can connect with it. I love doing my workshops, so I'm going to keep on doing that. So retire might mean I look at it a different way, but it's retirement was for people to help them in their older years so they wouldn't shrivel up and die in some hole somewhere because they couldn't work. But we can create it however we want.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when you look at people like Louise Hay from Hay House, for example, she worked a very long time. She loved her company. She created beautiful books and she kept on working. I had a great uncle who he passed when he was 97. Every few weeks he would email me, right? It wasn't like he didn't know what the internet was or anything, a new design for an invention that he made.
Hmm.
Now, I was the only one in the family that actually acknowledged it because everybody else thought he should really retire and stop doing that. But I was really excited. Oh my goodness, he designed, you know, a solar monument to Vietnam veterans where it had a television screen and each veteran's face in their service showed up and it was solar powered. So it would, I mean, like, what? How did you come up with this one? Like, well, they're not recognized enough. I thought I would design that.
Mm.
And in his 90s, he went to the Chamber of Commerce in his city to see if it could be built. Okay, no, obviously we know they didn't do that. But nevertheless, he didn't like sit back in an armchair and go, okay, I'm just going to like watch the ocean waves. I wonder how many waves will come in between I'm 65 and 95.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we don't have to do that. Like the retirement conversation is financial protection. That is really what it's about for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope still goes there. And yes, some corporations may not want you to be around because they may want younger people. Cool, because we can be entrepreneurs for the rest of our lives. We can create things that nobody thought would exist, which is what we're actually doing anyway.
Yeah.
Because 40 years ago, there wasn't an internet. 100 or 200 years ago, there were no cars. I can't remember when they invented planes, but...
Well, we look at 1903 with the Wright brothers. Of course, that was just the first flight that went the farthest at that point. But, I mean, you know, it's been a desire of man. And yet I take a look at that. And as much as I love flying, both in passenger jets as well as the single engines and so forth, which I have been gratefully blessed to have had those opportunities, I keep thinking... This is not where man belongs. Man belongs on the ground. If he were meant to fly, God would have given him wings. and of course, that's an old school attitude, I know. But
No, you know what would happen if we got wings? Then we would have to go to the salon, and they would have to fix them up.
Oh, yeah.
People
yeah.
would be dyeing them different colors.
Colors, yes.
Be jealous of other people's wings.
Well, I will say that, yes, I am grateful for the invention of flight. What is really astounding to me is the discovery, if you will, and drawings of people like Leonardo da Vinci of a helicopter centuries before sure. it ever happened. And it's like, this boy, this guy was tapped in. He was really connected to the universal power because he knew what was coming. So that was very, that to me is very cool. And of course, space flight too. I mean, my goodness, I'm a big sci-fi fan as well. But at the same time, I do not want to plan on inhabiting another planet because we've messed this one up so badly that we have to leave it. We need to fix this.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it is.
So it's not the question of whether you can leave the planet, but it's a question of, and your audience and everybody who's here listening, we have a love and a commitment to our life here.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is to our own celebration, our own spiritual growth, our own change and wisdom that we get. Throw that one in a little bit. And then the other is how we leave this world. So whatever the conversation is for today, let's make believe that conversation out there that you would butt up against or confront.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's irrelevant? What if what you do right now today, because talking about radical change, this is a radical idea. What if it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing out there, but it matters what you're doing?
Yeah.
What if it doesn't matter, like, what country's doing what, who's doing what to the country, where they're putting the money, where they're lying, where they're cheating? I know, who cares? What if what you do today makes a difference that's actually going to make the world create radical change and pivot to what we really want to see in this world? Because what we really want to see in this world is spiritual growth. It's harmony. It's human helping human helping animals, humans taking care of the planet, not listening to the other stuff that's going on, but going, excuse me now, that doesn't work. Let's do it this way. Oh, wait, we need money for that? I know about 150 people. They probably know 150 people. Let's just get the money and do it. I'm not going to worry about the bank.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to connect with people and say, how many dollars do you have? Oh, six? Great. Whatever it is, because I'm not being specific on purpose.
Right.
But whatever it is, however old you are, what's the young girl who's leading the whole environmental cause from, what's I mean, she's 16?
Guy by the name of Gretchen, I believe it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Who was allowed, encouraged, and invited to speak to the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
How many people listening thought that they could just walk in and talk there?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, but that's the radical change. That's the spiritual growth. And it may sound kind of funny and it may be idealistic, but that's what we're here to do. And we have the power and the wherewithal to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about that an awful lot. I did when I was younger especially, but certainly even more so today. And thinking that the number of people that we classify as the powers that be, okay, is made up of a very small number of people, okay?
Right.
Very small number. China has over 1 billion people. India has over 1 billion people. There are 7.8 to 7.9 billion people on the planet. And I'm thinking, what if all 7.9 rose up and said, enough already? And they go in and they basically throw these powers that be out and say, enough already. You're done. You've had your time, and we want no more of your foolishness, you know?
Yeah.
We, the people, are going mm-hmm. to decide from this point forward what direction we're going to go. And I actually think that one of the comments by Gretchen to the UN, and I got to say, I was impressed with her.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they call it chutzpah.
Yeah.
Where she basically said that if you don't start doing something now, we will never forgive you.
Yep.
They've had, and I remember seeing a piece on a lawsuit being filed by another American 14-year-old, 15-year-old, suing the federal government over this issue. And guess what their evidence is? I love this. This was so beautiful. It was like the height of irony. The evidence they are using to sue the government is the government's own statement since the 1960s about the changing climate and the impact that we are having. And we've had 50, 60 years to make significant changes, and our government refuses to do it. So they're being sued. The government is being sued and using its own documents against them.
I love it.
So I want to carry that one into the next subject, because this to me seems really important, because now we were just talking certainly on a global level, collectively, community or communities, throughout the around the world. Let's talk not only about your Heart of Destiny sessions, but that aspect of destiny. And can we juxtapose that in this way? Free will versus predestination. Because there are people who believe that there are certain that we are predestined to do this and do that, and there are books that have come down through the centuries with prophecies, Nostradamus, and on and on and on and on. Let's talk a little bit about that. Maybe touch first on this Heart of Destiny session.
Cool. Well, so a Heart of Destiny session, I work one-on-one with a person, and we really look at the energy that they're bringing in now to their life and how to release the limitations, the whatever we want to call limitations. It could be a personal emotional block. It could be energy that you did carry from your past or past life that's just in the way. And it could be your idea that you really can't do what you imagine you actually want to do, but you have stuff there. And so we clear those blocks. And then you're free to look at the heart of your destiny. Not so much the specifics, but the vibration of it. Because we may have very specific, concrete steps we think we need to take or things we need to do. But underneath that is the vibration, the soul purpose, the energy frequencies, the joy of it, the things that we want to contribute, the vision we have that we don't even know that we have yet. That is the kind of session that this is. So it's beautiful and it's intense, and sometimes it feels confrontational because sometimes there's stuff to confront. And sometimes it's so liberating that I have clients like have to call me back because they're crying too hard, and which is fine with me. If you need to cry about something that's that beautiful, good.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens each person up to really be who they are. And that is part of why I'm here, is to be able to help people in a variety of different ways, whether it's from my books or it's from my personal sessions with people or along the Heart of Destiny session is a kind of a one-day thing, whereas some of my other things are long-term coaching because I help you with each step. Workshops and all of those different things, because my joy is to watch people fulfill their destiny and then go beyond it.
You know, we got started and connected through one of your books called The Akashic Records.
Yeah.
We also talked, I think, in our last interview about Alawashka.
Yes.
Discovering the nature of creation, the evolution of humanity, and the power of Alawashka, the original sacred language. It's channeled by you, Lumaria. The words, energies, and wisdom in this particular book contain the vibrations of the universal healing and cosmic transformation. That word right there, I remember being told that I needed to change the word change, because I was using that all the time when when speaking of our evolution as a species, as a being, to transformation, to transform rather than to change. Because if it can be changed one way, it can be changed back the other way. Whereas when you've transformed, you've moved on, you've evolved, and you don't devolve. You don't go back the other way in that respect, which I think is,
right.
I loved that. And I thought, you know, I'm going to start using that. Same way, I also like using one of my other guests. His book is called The Mosaic. And I used to talk about how we get messages from one another so that we can add to the big picture of our lives. And yet I'm thinking, I like mosaic better.
Yes.
And so we're trying to do that. You also have another work, of course, not so much applying to me per se, but to others. Shopping for a Man. Yes, you know, and now this does not mean that the women out there are going to the store to figure out what to buy for the guy. No. This is about going out and finding a guy. But I think that the principles would apply pretty much in a lot of different relationship settings. The aspect, I want to go back in just a moment to talking more about this aspect of destiny, but I want to remind our listeners, we're talking to Lumari, and she has a website, lumari.com. I just mentioned several of her books. We've been talking about some of her workshops, if you will, or sessions that you can contact her about setting up. And you can align with the divine. You can build your business, change, there it is again, change the world. And I love that. I want to go back to this aspect, though, of destiny.
Yeah.
We also ask the question quite often about one's life purpose. People are looking for meaning in their lives, for one, looking for some level of satisfaction and even success. And I've begun the process of trying to eliminate from my vocabulary these two words, success and failure. When we go to create something, we're just going to go create it, all right? And we're going to find, as Edison found, we could find 990 ways that whatever it is we're trying to create doesn't work. And then we find that 991st way that it does. Now, that doesn't mean, as Edison pointed out, that we've failed 990 times. We just found that same number of times that it didn't work. That's all it says. There was no failure. There was learning. There was growth.
Mm-hmm.
And each design is an evolution from the last design. So you evolve forward until you create what it is that you want. Sometimes you get it on the first try, which, hey, terrific. Boy, put me in that class. But at the same time, there are those who believe that we're here for a particular purpose as individuals, not collectively as a species, although that could be a conversation in and of itself.
Right.
So how do you differentiate between, say, finding one's life purpose as opposed to the reason that I was put on this earth was to do this, which implies predestination, that I was preordained to do whatever it is that I'm doing?
That is a great question. And you know how much I love great questions.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I really do. So let's distinguish between destiny and I'll call it purpose, but I really like the word calling. So if we look at destiny, this is the easiest way for me to describe it. Destiny is a knowing and an agreement ahead of time that you are going to accomplish or try to accomplish something. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean you're locked into it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. But then there are an awful lot of things we could say is our destiny. And we could look back and go, well, I guess. Okay, I was born to my parents, obviously destiny. I wasn't born to the other people in my neighborhood. That would have been kind of weird to be born to all of them, too. But
hey, who knows if that ain't the evolutionary process?
Exactly. But those two people, my mother and father, I agreed with them before I came in that I would be their daughter. They agreed with me that I was going to get to be the first daughter. That was part of the agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't want to be the baby of the family. I wanted to be the first one. Totally. That was how it was. There were a whole bunch of other agreements there. Some of them were kept. Some of them were not kept. It doesn't matter anymore, right?
Yeah.
You would consider that destiny. You're going to be born with these people. Now, what else could be destiny is agreements with others or with the divine to fulfill or attempt to fulfill certain things. So I'm not saying you agree that you're going to be president of the United States, blah, blah, blah. That's actually an optional destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how everybody else moves in that area. But if you agree, okay, this lifetime, I want to experience this, the frequencies that you come in with are part of that destiny. There are people you agree to meet. It is your destiny to meet them. Now, I want everybody to know I am saying agree. Your destiny is not inflicted upon you. It is an agreement you make.
Okay, that makes more sense. So, yeah.
So you can imagine that, right? It's,
yep.
It's liberating. And on the same token, or like on one side it's liberating, right? And the other side is like, oh, man, I agree to do that?
Wait
a
minute.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, show me the contract. I want to read. I got to see that.
Exactly.
You know?
So everybody who's listening who had a really bad first marriage, you can go, really? I agreed to that? Are you kidding? Next time I come in, I'm looking at the paperwork. I'm not signing without my cosmic lawyer.
There, right there. Let me get my lawyer on this, okay? And get back with you in a week to 10 days. It
and
is.
Now the purpose,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Continue.
Okay. The purpose, or like I say, your soul's calling, because your soul is calling you forward.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose is how you want to express certain things, certain energies, certain themes. Now, it's not a specific agreement. It is an inspiration. So if it's easy for me to talk about artists this way, as opposed to differentiate all the different spiritual aspects. But you come in as an artist, and maybe you discover that actually you're really good at drawing. Maybe you discover that actually you're really good at creating cities. Maybe you discover painting is the thing, or music is the thing, or whatever. Your calling is to express an opinion of you, beauty, energy, and that keeps on moving you forward. So it may feel like purpose because it's in you, right? Like you feel it, you know it. Most artists, that's why I'm using this because it's easy. Everybody mm-hmm. can see artists are a little bit crazy. Most artists don't want to be far away from their music. If they're a dancer, they don't want to sit in silence. They want to dance.
Yeah.
And so you can feel that energy of purpose in it, but it isn't necessarily a direction. The purpose is like, I have a vision to feed people. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what could that be? It could be having a farm. It could be creating restaurants. It could be making other people create restaurants.
Yeah. I mean, you just never know.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. So does that make sense, the difference between purpose and destiny?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Because we, and I'm going to put it in this framework, that we, as immortal entities, set up our own predestination in a given lifetime. Is that a good way to put that? We set it up ourselves. It is not done outside of us.
Yeah, most people think that like somebody did it for you and you just have to live it out. It's not. You agreed. Now, you may not be happy that you agreed to that. Or it's like the things that I have looked at in my own life and I go, boy, you know, when you live outside the body in that cosmic world, you're way more optimistic about how it's going to turn out than when you actually get here.
Yeah.
Oh, but I know I agreed to it, right?
Yeah.
And so what's beautiful is if you know that you actually agreed to it, you know that you agreed to be with these certain people. You may not have agreed to all the things that happened, but you agreed to be with these certain people. Yeah. Or you agree to do a certain thing or live a certain way or whatever it is, then it takes the victimization of destiny out of it, and you can gain more from it than you ever thought you could. Because you agreed in some way to do it, and underneath it, there was whatever reason there was. Maybe, I mean, I look at it and I go, okay, I agreed to be with my parents. First of all, they were good people. Second of all, I wanted to bring them something that they didn't have before, and I wanted to continually spiritually challenge them because I'm like that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were things that they were going to bring me. Some things I didn't like, but most of it I was really lucky. I had very loving, conscious parents. So they might have been conservative in how they lived their life, but they were very generous, open, loving, and open-thinking people. Well, that was good for me, because if they were very, very right-wing, my way of having conversations with them, talking with other beings in the world and all of that, they would have put me away.
Well, and I often think about that in terms of the whole other beings thing, that it is the height of arrogance on our part as human beings to think that we're the only sentient, intelligent beings in the universe. It's like, really? We've sort of mapped the universe for light years, and there's no one else out here? Nah, I'm sorry. No, I'm not buying it.
That would be terribly depressing.
It would.
Oh, we are the smartest beings in the world? Oh, my, no, please.
Boy, if we're the smartest beings in the world, in the universe, wow. We need to do something and in a hurry to up our ante, so to speak. It's just
Richard, you and I have a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I love it. It's great stuff. One of the things that I have found so fascinating is that we struggle with this stuff. It challenges us, and as it should, in my opinion, because of the fact that we are looking for answers. And I realize that there are like four or five main questions that we're trying to get answers to. You know, who am I? Why am I here? Where did I come from? And where am I going? And I get caught up in the fifth question, and that is, if we came from the one and we're going to the one, why are we here in this dualistic world? And that has always perplexed me because it's like, really, we're here for the experience? But if we are God, all-knowing, all-seeing, all, you know, and so forth, why do we need these experiences? And I was like, well, who knows? Someone said to me long ago, Lumari, why don't you leave some questions to be answered, in the afterlife? don't try to get all of them now.
Well, but see, the thing is, asking the questions is always more important than getting the answers.
Asking
a question leads you somewhere.
Yeah.
It will continue to lead. The answer for most people. Okay, I'm different, I know. For most people, when they get an answer, they go, oh, cool, okay, fine. For me, that answer is going to make me ask another question. Mm-hmm. But that's me.
Yeah.
Because I really like questions, because questions lead you in the space of inquiry. And what can happen in that space of inquiry?
Yeah.
So when you look at it, and like that question that you just asked, and by the way, those first four questions should be a country song. So tell somebody to write it.
Yeah, well, then we have to incorporate into that country song something about mother and a truck. So there you go.
Oh, well, that's okay. Let's just say my mother asked me while we were driving in a truck.
I see. There you go. That was easy. That was very easy. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, when you're looking and you're asking, like, if we came from the one and we're going back to the one, why are we here and what are we doing? But you see, when people think about the one, they think about this constant. They don't think about the fact that you don't know how many universes have been created. You don't know what the divine, none of us do, what the divine is looking at for beyond what we see, and we don't even see 1% of what is there and what is being created and what consciousness actually has. We are exploring and creating with the universe. So whatever is going on, why we're here is to be part of that exploration, and everything feeds us and our soul, and then we feed the divine. Yeah. And however that looks, it could be, you know, because I don't think the divine is bored. I don't think that would be happen. Otherwise, she'd be going, next. Okay, no. I'm done with the universal thing. What else is there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not people, too many people. Let's move this planet over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm redecorating now.
That's right. That's right. There you go. Well, and actually, the universe is in redecoration mode constantly because things are flying around everywhere.
Exactly.
Spinning and turning and all of that stuff.
And when we're working and we're really looking in our beautiful conversation, Richard, and I love to have conversations that are a little bit like, you know, radical.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying in a radical way. I'm not chanting blessings at the moment, but to look at it in a way that we get it on this world in this moment. So I can be completely esoteric about every single frequency that's coming to this planet to do all of these different things. But if we can't play with it in our daily life, then it's beyond us.
Yeah.
And I don't want any of the energy, the divine spark, the inspiration, the wisdom. I don't want it to be with beyond us. I want it to be in us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want us to see it and know it and love it. And share it.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. It leads me to that point where we talked about earlier, whether it's dealing with change or whether it's trying to get answers to the questions over time. If we would just go within to that space where that love resides, we may not get the answers to our questions, but we will find a place of peace and tranquility and calmness to where whether we ever get the answers to those questions, in one aspect, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if we get those. Because really, I think those questions are more coming from our own personal, our own ego, trying to find our place in the universe. So, well, our place in the universe is right where we are, isn't it?
Well, it is. And though you have to remember, Richard, I really love questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tantalize me. Whatever the question is, it doesn't matter. Because I've had clients ask me stuff that one of my clients is a physicist, and he started asking me about the nature and the frequencies of, you know, molecules and light. Okay, like I have no clue. Right? No clue what you're talking about. But when I answered him about it from my spiritual perspective, he said, wait, and he started writing. I'm, what are you writing? He goes, the formula. I'm like, oh my God. What I said in English in my space mm-hmm. of channeling, you have a formula for that? And he goes, well, I think in formulas. So I was writing something and he was creating a formula for physics, whatever.
Wow.
Because again, I don't need to know that.
Right.
The question that he asked me and the answer that I brought forward in my cosmic view was a formula that he wanted to describe to other physicists a quality of light.
Mm.
Well, I was being my poetic self. But that question asked of me created something for him that he used. I never asked him what he used or what it was about because I already knew I wouldn't know what he was talking about.
Right.
In that context, I wouldn't.
Well,
but in the questioning of things, questioning is different than doubt.
Yes.
Questioning brings you forward and it might open up new things. And again, I go back to artist, right? So here you are with a blank canvas and you've got these beautiful brushes and wonderful rich colors and you're mixing them together. It's an inquiry of creation when you're painting.
Mm.
What goes here? What goes there? What am I doing? What am I feeling? Who's on the phone? No, just kidding.
Well, and it's interesting. I now have, I can add to my resume when asked. So what can I expect on the program? Tell me your story when I'm on your program being interviewed. I said, well, and this has happened. I can make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I can make you cry. I've had that happen. My program, I'll ask a question and I get tears. And now I can add to that, or I can tantalize you.
Yes.
And I will tell you one of the favorite responses that I get from my guests. And it thrills me, obviously on the personality side, because it's like, oh, then that tells me I'm asking the right questions. When I get this response, nobody's ever asked me that question before.
Mm.
I love that. I I'm not trying. I'm not trying to create. As I've always said, the universe is asking the questions. I'm just along for the ride. And it's a hell of a ride, and it's a lot of fun. Lumari, I want to thank you so much for giving us this time on the program again. We will have you back again around the first of 2020 because 2020 is a big deal for a lot of folks on a lot of different levels. We need to talk about that because I view 2020 as a year of potential perfect vision, not literally, but of the possibility that we could see things if we are open to it, if we are willing to set aside our personality, our ego, we could see things as they really are and begin even more connectedly, collectively, cooperatively to make this a better place. And I'm all into patterns, and we were talking 2020, that's great, and that makes a four and all the numerological aspects to it, I'm sure. I'm very curious as to what year it is as far as the Chinese are concerned. What animal will 2020 be? Will it be an eagle? Will it be a bat? I don't know.
Will it be a pig? Who knows?
But I just, it isn't even a question of, oh, and I see great things for everybody. And, oh, it's good. No. The only way great things happen is if we put ourselves out there, we start doing the stuff that we know to do. And I thank you for doing the work that you're doing. And I encourage people to go to your website, lumari.com, to find out more. And yeah, let's plan on that. Following this, we'll set up the schedule for do something for the first of the year in early December so that people will have that available. And we can talk about your observations, your perceptions as far as the work that you're doing to help folks along.
I would love that. And people, I know they're going to go to my website, and I do have books on Amazon if they want to see it. I also have a book, Living Inspired with Lumari, which I think will be a lot of fun for people. And your vision that you just said for 2020 to be the one where we all see what's really possible. Listen, I know this is crazy, but everybody listening, take a deep breath and let's make it so.
Yeah, absolutely. Take that deep breath and let's do it. And the real key is that you need to be awake. So let's wake up. Let's wake one another up so that we can make that happen. Lumari, again, thank you so much for joining us on the program. And as always, I want to reiterate that we do ask these other questions in the context of the program to all of our guests. And I have asked this these questions of you before, but I always like to ask it anyway because sometimes the answers change, and we are in an evolutionary process. And so first question I have for you is, who is Lumari?
Oh, today? Lumari.
Okay, today.
Lumari is a vortex of beautiful and radical change for people to live their highest purpose and celebrate their own gifts and bring them into the world. And I bring the frequencies of creation to our world and to all of us.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to bring the true frequencies of creation to all of us, so that we can see how we create and then create in a more beautiful, elegant, loving way.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is to have a lot of fun bringing spiritual connection, healing, and joy and creation to myself, the people I love, and the world.
Lumari.com is the website. We encourage you to go there. Lumari, once again, thank you so much for joining us. And I thank you for listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, whether it's on the radio broadcast or the podcast at SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Spotify, and a bunch of other outlets on the internet worldwide. And until next time, love, Talal.